The electromyogram is another basic signal that represents the activity of a muscle unit at various levels of detail or structure. Where you could view the electromyogram or the EMG signal as an extension of the action potential that we saw just now into a larger unit of a muscle. Now, skeletal muscle fibers are known as twitch fibers. They produce a mechanical twitch response for a single stimulus and then generate an action potential that gets propagated as I described earlier. A twitch is a little contraction, which is what I illustrated with the picture of the myocyte. The myocyte was of this length and when stimulated, contracted, and then went back to the relaxed stage after the contraction. So that little change in dimension is known as a twitch. When a number of muscle fibers twitch collectively, we produce force of sustained contraction. So you can hold something and lift it or apply pressure as you wish under your volitional control. Skeletal muscles are made up of collections of motor units, or MU. MU here stands for a motor unit, where the collection of the constituent elements represents a certain unit within the larger muscle. And the collection is based upon how the units work together, controlled together. Each motor unit consists of what is called the anterior horn cell, or motor neuron, or motor neuron. There are a few different terms that are used. Motor neuron is a contraction of motor neuron. It's axon, and all muscle fibers innervated by that axon. Innervated meaning stimulated or excited. The motor unit is the smallest muscle unit that can be activated by volitional effort. We may not be able to recognize each motor unit because a single muscle like this may have several motor units together. The constituent fibers of a motor unit are activated synchronously. And the component fibers of a motor unit extend lengthwise in loose bundles along the muscle. And the fibers of a motor unit are interspersed with fibers of other motor units. So if this is a muscle, there are several muscle fibers. Some of the muscle fibers form one unit, and some others form another unit, and others, and they are mixed. But each collection of fibers in one motor unit will be connected by its own nerve to its motor neuron, or the point in the spinal cord from where it is triggered into contraction. So here is a schematic representation. This figure is not in the book, but it is in the updates extra notes on my website. So in the spinal cord, which is in the back here, there is a unit that is known as the motor neuron. From that point, which is one cell in the spinal cord, there is an axon and then its branches, which will come and connect to the fibers of one motor unit. And there could be several such units. There is another motor neuron in the spinal cord. From there, there is another axon and its fibers and branches. This will be a nerve fiber. This is a muscle fiber. So there is a big nerve and the smaller branches of the nerve. And they come and at the end connect to individual fibers of the motor unit. So I have shown here these fibers in solid line which form one motor unit and the fibers in dashed lines which form another motor unit, and they are mixed. And there are several motor units like this in a big muscle or even a small muscle such as what we have here. And each one is controlled by its own axon and its own point in the spinal cord. This is a complex image that shows how an EMG is generated. This is from a paper by Carlo De Luca and others that was published several years ago in the IEEE Transactions on Biomedical Engineering on modeling of the generation of the electromyogram. So here you have something similar to what I showed just now. This is a spinal cord, and there are axons coming into muscle fibers of different units, and they are triggered under volitional control, under the control of the person. If you want to record the EMG at the motor unit level, you will have to use a needle and stick the needle inside and position it within the motor unit of interest. And the recording electrodes are at the tip of this needle. There will be two wires connected there. So then you can get the EMG related to only that unit. But even if you do a small level of contraction, there could be several motor units that are active. So it is difficult to separate the activity of one motor unit and another in the same unit for even very low levels of contraction. You can model this anatomical system in terms of an electrical signal system where you have the spinal cord that generates impulse trains. The stimuli given to the muscle fibers are each modeled in terms of a certain impulse, and it is not periodic, but it's what's called a point process, a series of impulses. There is a general average rate of 20-30 pulses per second, but the separation between individual pulses is not constant. And each pulse train triggers one motor unit, which gives its motor unit action potential. So now we are talking about the action potential of not of one cell, but several cells, each shown here as a muscle fiber, and each muscle fiber has several cells. So our unit is now bigger of several cells. And this is called a single motor unit action potential, the action potential of one motor unit. And in the muscle, there are several motor units active, and each one produces a train of motor unit action potentials. So when I contract a muscle, there could be several hundred motor units that are active, generating motor unit action potential trains like this, and all of them get superimposed. The motor units are distributed in the space of the muscle in three dimensions, and the electrical activity is projected. And if you put two electrodes here, you view the electrical activity as a projection and summation of all of these activities. And what you get, perhaps we should close that window and maybe open a window at the back. It'll be nice to get fresh air, but I think you could open one at the back. Thank you. Otherwise, this will keep running. So the electromyogram that you observe is a combination of all of these. And there could be some noise in your recording system, the instrumentation, and something else happens when it is transmitted and recorded. And what you get, the myoelectric signal, is a superposition of the activity of several motor units with the addition of some artifacts and noise. So that's the general model of an EMG signal. Large muscles, such as the muscles of the leg and the arm, for gross movement, gross meaning large movements, such as moving the whole arm or lifting some heavy weight, whereas fine movement would be movements of the facial muscles or the eye and so on. In the case of large muscles, there are several hundreds of fibers per motor unit, muscle fibers. So each motor unit is fairly large. And muscles for precise movement have fewer fibers per motor unit, such as in the face. The motor unit here will have a smaller number of fibers. So the ratio of the number of muscle fibers per nerve fiber is known as the innervation ratio, the excitation of a muscle by electrical impulses from the spinal cord through the axon. That is known as innervation or stimulation. The ratio of the muscle fibers to the nerve fiber or nerve, there is some ambiguity here, I'll come to that later on, is known as innervation ratio. The platysma muscle of the neck has 1,826 large nerve fibers, controlling some 27,000 muscle fibers. The number of motor units is about 1,000, and the innervation ratio is about 15. So this is for the neck. And the first dorsal interosseous muscle in the finger, there are about 199 large nerve fibers and 40,500 muscle fibers, 119 motor units. The innervation ratio is now bigger, 203. You don't have to remember these numbers, but just the idea that the number of motor units, the muscle fibers per motor unit varies from muscle to muscle. If you want fine control, the innervation ratio should be low. So the mechanical output of a muscle is a net result of stimulation and contraction of several motor units. So what happens when stimulated by a neural signal, or also external stimulation if you want to do so? Each motor unit contracts and causes an electrical signal that is a summation of the action potentials of all of its constituent cells. And that gets projected. This is known as the single motor unit action potential, or we will call it SMUAP. The normal shape of a motor unit action potential is biphasic or triphasic. A biphasic action potential has two phases. So if it is monophasic, there is only one pulse. If it is biphasic, they could be like this or could be like that. Triphasic could be three phases. It could be the opposite. So each phase is a unit of movement of the polarity of the signal. Most of the motor unit action potentials are biphasic or triphasic. The action potential of a single cell is monophasic, as we saw earlier. The duration is about 3 to 15 milliseconds, about 100 to 300 microvolts in amplitude, and the typical excitation rate, or the firing rate as it is called, the rate of stimulation, is of the order of 6 to 30 per second. So you can trigger a muscle fiber at a maximum of about 30 per second. That's the rate of response. If you were to work the details, looking at the duration of the action potential, you can figure out the maximum frequency. This is for a typical muscle fiber. But if you consider the action potential of a myocyte from the heart, from the ventricle, we saw the duration is of the order of 300 milliseconds. If you allow some gap after that for recovery, let's say it is 500 milliseconds in total. So that is half a second, which means you cannot trigger that fiber at a rate of more than 2 per second, which means the heart rate you can get from that will be 120 per minute. But there is a small variation in the action potential duration with heart rate. So the maximum heart rate that we could normally get is not 120. It could go up to 150, 160. If you are jogging and exercising, I don't think it'll cross 200. So the triggering rate there is limited by the duration of the action potential. The same for the muscle fibers, but these can go at a faster rate of up to 30 per second.